You have a mini and a...
I had to sell my soul to get this.
Why? Do you like it better?
I do.
Really?
I like the size. I like being able to do that.
You like it smaller?
Mm-hmm. I can't handle large things.
Apparently. iPads, right?
Yes. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this episode, James Tapeleg Grillion from the Rink Podcast and I give our thoughts on the end of the NHL lockout, whether Ryan O'Reilly is locked out or on strike, and we give our thoughts on the brand new 2013 Colorado Avalanche. Those topics and a whole lot more coming at you in episode number 75 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the world-famous Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. Why are you flinching on world-famous?
What?
Why are you flinching on world-famous?
Nothing. Boys and girls?
Did I say boys? Oh, I said boys and girls on the post, but hey, welcome back, everyone.
Hey, men and women.
Men and women, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen.
Dogs of all ages.
We're back.
Yeah.
Hockey's back.
Hockey's back.
Hashtag hockey is back. Ladies and gentlemen, James Tapeleg Grillion.
Hockey's back.
From the Rink Podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing?
Welcome back.
Thanks.
We're back in your ear holes, everyone.
I barely even remember how to do this.
Yeah, it's been a little while even since the last show, because we had no idea it was going to come, but there it is.
I didn't think it was going to. I'm going to
admit you were the
right
one
now,
that was always adamant that there was going to be hockey.
I was adamant that there was
going to
be hockey.
You were the positive
guy. Then they became so stupid. See,
who's they?
First off, what show is this?
Oh, this is show number 75 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
Somebody told me that they didn't like the you always doing the almost everything Avalanche. And I was like, but it's Jay's thing.
But it's true.
Yeah.
I used to say this is your home for everything Avalanche.
And
we can't possibly cover everything. You said almost. I like it.
No, I told them that you know.
You gotta have a tagline.
Yeah. Oh, all good. All good radio shows.
Are we not the home for almost everything Avalanche?
Almost.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
All right. So it's number 75.
Episode number 75 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. And that's it. There's no 75s.
Okay.
We're good until 77.
We already covered sevens. Who's fives?
Fives. Off the top of my head?
Yeah.
The Goose. Alexei Gusarov.
Oh, okay.
Brett Clark.
I was thinking he meant Goose Gossage or possibly the guy. Wasn't the guy from Top Gun Goose?
The Goose? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was. He was Goose. He died.
Goose Gossage died?
Wow. Anyways, Shane O'Brien?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Shane O'Brien. Any other fives that you can remember?
Wasn't there a real famous one?
I said Brett Clark, right?
No.
Alexei Gusarov, Brett Clark. I don't know. You guys take your choice. This is episode number 75.
I kind of liked Brett. That's not true. I didn't really like Brett Clark.
Brett Clark wasn't bad.
I thought that Brett Clark was okay. My problem with Brett Clark was that every time, for like a whole season, it seemed like every time I turned on the game, there he was making a bad decision that led in a goal.
Yeah.
And mind you, he's a defenseman. Those things are going to happen. You're going to see a defenseman either making a bad decision or just a defenseman. And it always seemed to happen to be him. It wasn't as bad as when, I think it was Jeff Finger, that lost his stick and then just kept skating between the bench and back and the bench and back. And he just couldn't decide which one to do.
That's never a good place to
horrible.
Be.
Yeah. And you know what happened next? Avs got scored on.
I would have guessed.
Yeah, it was ugly. Anyways, episode number 75, the Hockey's Back edition.
It's back. Hashtag hockey is
back. Hashtag hockey's back. You know what? I will tell you this, my friend.
Yes.
A hashtag makes up for just about everything in life. Hashtags will save the world. Hashtags will start revolutions, and hashtags makes me forget that there was a lockout, that anything happened against the... What are you doing? Put that down.
Not as much as a really cool letter from the NHL in your local sports paper.
If you read... That's a dead medium, my friend.
You Podcast, love it.
Podcasting
you
is
love
where
it.
It's at.
So there's a hashtag,
Jan Hayda was born in 1978?
Wow.
I know.
He was. Dear fans, as your teams prepare for the opening face-off of the 2012-2013 season.
Face-off?
Where was the 2012 season?
This should just be the 2013
season. We thank you. They must have written this a long time ago. We thank you for your patience, and we apologize to you for... I wish we had music. Do we have symphony music to go over this? Yeah. Taps would work. For your patience, and we apologize to you for the time we've missed. From today forward, we will do everything we can to make this season worth the wait.
Could you read that slightly less condescending?
Sorry. I don't need to read the whole thing. Do you want me to?
No, read the whole thing.
We are committed to earning back your trust and support the same way it's earned on the ice, with hard work and unwavering dedication. Your cheers drive us forward, and we're committed to making you proud to be a fan by delivering a game with the action, the skill, and the intensity you deserve.
What was that about it driving? What drives us forward?
I don't know. Just words. Like you, we've missed NHL hockey. Liars. We've missed the clutch goals, the big hits, the electrifying saves. We've missed the flash of the red light, the sound of the siren, and the way the building shakes when the home team scores. It's time to focus on the best. The best athletes in the world.
Oh, Beth.
On the enduring greatness of the game, and above all, on the connection that binds fans, players, and families everywhere. NHL hockey is the best in the world. The future is incredibly bright. So let's drop the puck and marvel at all the remarkable things the players do with it. With respect and appreciation, the National Hockey League. Are you going to eat your microphone? Oh, yeah. And then at the end, it's insert home team here. So the Avalanche are planning special events and unique opportunities to welcome you back. We hope you'll get in on the action. And again, thank you.
Beth is a ballad by the band Kiss, originally released on their 1976 album Destroyer.
Cram it in your cram hole.
Listen, if I'm the NHL, I'm writing that letter. I'm buying the ad, whatever.
That ad cost a lot of money too.
It was
I'm sure the papers? Post loved that. A full page ad
in the sports section on page 9.
Goodness.
Page 9.
Page 9. Thank you. Couldn't have the back. What's on 9. The back here?
Oh,
we've got car ads.
Yeah, can't Sweet. Have
car
yeah.
classifieds.
Deal and Doug, man.
Yeah.
You do not usurp Deal and Doug.
Let's put it this way. Hockey's back. Mm-hmm. I'm more excited than I thought I'd be, but I'm not as excited as I thought I'd be.
Right.
Does that make sense? I think there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way.
I'm happy that hockey's back. I'm happy that that the NHL is back. I think that there were a lot of people that said the fans are going to forgive and forget. I think that the fans will forgive. I do not think they will forget.
Totally agree.
It's going to be unlike a lot of what columnists said and bloggers said and all of that. It's going to be an individual choice. My whole thing was, I need to see how I feel when it's done. When hockey comes back, how do I feel? Am I going to be excited? I'm not excited yet.
Yeah. I'm trying to be. I'm more excited than I thought I would be, but I'm still not like, yes, opening night, yes. Yeah. And it's just, eh.
Well, you went to training camp.
Went to camp yesterday. Mm-hmm. Just for a little while, just to check it out. Brought the girls and my wife with me, so we just stayed for a little bit. It was cool. It's good to see the guys back on the ice.
Yeah.
A lot of new faces. Missing one face that we'll talk about. It's great. I mean, if you guys...
Adrian Dater wasn't there?
Mosier was not there. If you guys have a chance, if you live near an NHL team or mm-hmm. you obviously live in Denver, and go check out camp sometime. It's definitely an experience to see how fast the guys are moving on, I guess, from a vantage point that you're used to if you go to your local rink and skate or whatever. So that was fun to watch. But it's tough to get excited. It's tough with the new faces, I guess. You don't get to know them as quickly because of the shortened everything. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, hey, we've got some games coming up. No preseason games, which I don't mind at all. But, we're going to see right where they stand right away.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's my feeling about the whole thing was that I don't want to spend a ton of money going to the Pepsi Center when – oftentimes I don't really like the Pepsi Center experience. I like minor league experience. Sometimes I like the junior experience when there aren't cowbells involved. Because I went to Cedar Rapids Rough Riders.
Still ringing, huh?
Oh, just
more cowbell.
No. And when they would cowbell. Say more cowbell, I just, I just, I, oh.
Were they allowed to use any SNL stuff like the Christopher Walken skit?
They didn't play it.
They got a prescription, and the only prescription.
They didn't play it, but the announcer said it. No, this was the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. They have a country song, Rider Town USA, and they play it before the song, before the game. And anytime they sing Rider Town, the whole crowd, you know, rings their cowbells because you got to know when it
sounds really awesome.
Yeah. But,
I know you loved it,
I did not love it because I had a guy ringing his cowbell right in my ear. But the point being that going to the Pepsi Center, it gets annoying because it's the same. And I've complained about this before. I'm not going to go into depth. It's the same presentation. It's expensive. Opening night tickets, there are some deals out there, and you posted a link.
Two for one.
And what was it, like $15 for
upper level and $35 for lower end club.
And you know that the Avalanche is hurting.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, no doubt about that.
And they may sell out, but a lot of people are looking around.
I'm not getting the feel that there's going to be a lot of people there, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, at those prices, there might be, and maybe they're looking at the same thing that a lot of teams are looking at for the season. If you start strong, you may get there.
Well, that's every other team too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and on the ice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I totally lost it. Damn. What was I?
That's okay. It'll come back.
No, it won't. It's not going to come back.
Don't point at me.
It's never going to come back. But anyway, so I'm going to watch at home. You know, I do the theater job, the evening job that is even keeping me from playing in my rec team. Which is not
doesn't make you bitter at all.
No
bitterness whatsoever.
I'm really bitter about it. But anyways, so I won't be able to see the Avs opening night live because I'll be doing a symphony show.
You can fast forward through the commercials later.
I will.
Yep.
I will.
No spoilers for James, everyone.
No line at the bathroom.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
You can do whatever you want.
Beverages and food are reasonably priced.
Well, I heard they're the second home game. They've got 2-for-1 for the first home game. I've heard the second home game is Dollar Dogs. So
really,
yeah, and so maybe that'll pick up the experience there and get some people in the building. But still, at least for right now, besides the 2-for-1, besides all that, there's been nothing from the Avalanche except for every fan that comes to the opening night game will get a letter, you know, signed by Stan Kroenke and Sherman. What? And you didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah, there's some kind of a letter that they're going to hand out, apologizing and saying thanks.
Avalanche said absolutely nothing during the lockout.
Nothing.
There was no communication with the fans. And then as soon as they're back, okay, we're going to sign a letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the thing. I was thinking about this because of I just got my bill for Game Center Live.
Mm-hmm.
And
$50, right?
$50. And which isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was saying, well, it should be free. And I think that, I would never see that happening. But I don't know what it would actually take to have a discount or things like that that actually does make up for the lockout.
At least
the last lockout, and everybody's been saying the same thing, and I'm going to say it too. At least the last lockout, we did get something out of it. We got better hockey. We got a stronger system. We got cost certainty so that teams would be in a better financial shape, even though they're saying, now it'll be even better financial shape. That's not, but we didn't get anything.
Right.
Last one we did. And there's, the dead puck era pretty much ended.
True.
Pretty much. There's still, we're getting a little bit back to it, but.
Not as bad. It'll never be that bad. I watch highlights. I'm like, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you just jump on his back? It's just easier.
That was Mario Lemieux pretty much. I mean, it was.
Can you imagine the numbers? With Sakic playing his whole career like that, with Peter Forsberg might still be playing.
Yeah.
You never know. I don't know. Let's be bitter.
I mean, the trap wasn't as big, stuff like that. I mean.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know.
So I don't know. We'll see how things go. Obviously, it's key for every team to get a good start, to get people back in the building, and not every team's going to start well. So
I mean, I'm going to take it day by day. I'm going to just wait and see, how do I feel tomorrow? How do I feel the next day about hockey? And just go from there.
Right on, Dr. Phil. So the lockout ended January 5th for those of you that have been living under a rock somewhere. You want to go over signings, or you'd like to talk about our friend Ryan O'Reilly? What do you want first, sir?
Let's talk about the big thing, which is Ryan O'Reilly.
The best analogy I guess I could come up with was what I posted was, is he locked out or is he on strike? And it seems like it might be a little bit of both now. I mean, the numbers are starting to come out as far as what he asked for, as far as a length and as far as what he wanted for money.
Again, supposedly, this is the Avalanche we're talking about, who do not
They never talk about anything. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think as fans we're ever going to get the true story as far as exactly what's been asked for, what's been offered, things like that. Right. But it does seem people are very quick to blame the Avalanche because of their history of not negotiating with players. Like Ian LaPerriere is a perfect example for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there might be some blame to go on both sides here as far as Ryan O'Reilly is worth a lot of money. But I think he wants some big money, which he might be worth, might be not. But is this his fourth year in the league, or I don't know.
This is entry. This is his first contract out of entry level,
and he's restricted free agent. Because Duchesne
got his new one,
right?
Same
and
time.
Duchesne, you can't. I guess you can't even really. It's not really what Duchesne's worth, but it's what his numbers said he was worth. Now O'Reilly's different in the fact that he plays defense as well as he does, plays both ways, works as hard as he does. His numbers were better than Duchesne's simply for the fact that he was, healthy as well.
Right.
But I think there might be blame to go on both sides. A lot of people are quick to blame the Avalanche. I don't blame them at all because that's the history. But maybe O'Reilly and his agent are asking for a little bit too much money, especially for his first non-entry-level contract. So I don't know.
Supposedly it's $4 million a year at 5 years or something like that.
That's
David Jones's cap hit is $4 million a year for 4 years.
So is Parenteau's.
And Duchesne is 3.5 for 2 years. So he's going to try and prove that he's worth more in a couple of years.
It's average of 3.5, yeah.
And it's still the Stastny contract that you look at and go, this is what the benchmark supposedly is going to be. That's how they're going to want to frame it.
Yeah. So it looks like O'Reilly, at least for now, is going to stay in Russia and play there. He's got a contract there that he needs to be able to live up to and be able to honor since he signed that deal.
Except he does have an NHL app.
Absolutely.
So I think it's going to sign.
When do you think?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I could say I think it's this, but I don't know what the arguments are, how the arguments are being
played.
Do you think he will not be on opening night roster? No way.
Do you think the length of the contract is the issue or the type of money that he's asking for?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's length. Why would you sign? I don't understand why you would sign David Jones to 4 years and Duchesne to two.
It's called cap space and the cap floor. I think some of that has got to be it.
Some of it.
Yeah.
You've got pretty much the same roster locked up from last year of all the main players, of all the worthwhile players, except for O'Reilly.
Well, people are pissed and I understand why. But yeah, the beat goes on. It's like, you get your team back, you get some hockey back, and then one of the most beloved guys just because of the way he plays the game and the way, he works and what he's made himself into, and he's not back. So something else for people to complain about.
You said that the Avalanche, they don't negotiate.
No.
Well,
that's one thing Pierre Lacroix will say, is that we don't negotiate. We'll make you an offer, and if you don't like it, kick rocks. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's time that they change their attitude.
Yeah.
Look what happened in the last lockout. Who did we lose? Rob Blake.
Mm-hmm. Forsberg.
Peter Forsberg. Adam Foote.
Couldn't keep them all.
Nope.
Well, some of that's the cap as well.
A lot of that was the cap.
Yeah.
But if you're a hardliner and you say, this is your offer, take it or leave it, you have to be willing for them to leave it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time that the Avalanche change their attitude.
Now, this could be all Lacroix. It could be. It could be Sherman. It could be the ownership as well. So that's where I'm not so quick to blame the Avalanche organization or I guess certain people within the organization because we don't know what ownership has told Lacroix that he can deal with or Sherman. I don't know. I don't know whether it's ownership saying you can only spend this certain amount of money. I mean, the Avalanche have a ridiculous amount of cap space right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the lowest spending teams in the league, one of the youngest teams in the league as well. But have they been told that you can only spend so much? Or, did the Avalanche want to sign this guy and ownership said, sorry, we're not going to pay that?
I'm sure they have a budget, but they knew that this was coming. Remember, the whole thing is we're saving money up. We're saving money on these long-term contracts to pay the guys when it's time.
Yeah, but then they don't.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
They had.
I don't know. It's confusing. It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
We'll kind of see how it goes. So hopefully Ryan O'Reilly's back soon. But then he gets some funky names on the roster, and we'll go over those.
I think he's going to be back, and at least he's playing somewhere, which is better than let's say what was it, Drew Doughty last year that held out with the Kings and basically had to skate right on into games rather than and missed all of training camp.
He ate donuts. He was having donuts.
Well, he wasn't having pancakes like Penner.
Yeah, they hurt your back.
They do,
but it worked out for both of them.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They're lifting cups while The Avs aren't.
You got to be careful though. Cups are heavier than pancakes.
Oh, it depends on who makes the pancakes and how big the stack
delicious
is.
Delicious pancakes. Mm-hmm. Supposedly at the Bell Center right now, Montreal, they're chanting, "We want PK."
PK's well, here. And I think one of the things that I read too is that O'Reilly wants more money than Subban, which is like, okay, all right.
But Subban hasn't been signed yet, so
I don't know. Can't we just play hockey with good guys on the ice? Is it really that difficult?
Yes.
Yeah, it actually is.
I mean, it's
not my money.
Hey. You know, that's the thing. It's the cap. It's the cap era. So
it's cap floor money for matters. The Avalanche. Yeah,
it is. And considering how what was attendance like last year? It wasn't great.
Mm-mm.
There were a lot of empty seats. There were a lot of paper seats. There were a lot of we sold tickets and nobody was there. Quote unquote, or you know, numbers that maybe didn't jibe with what the arena looked like. Is it going to be any better after a lockout? Losing half the season, no communication with the fans. Is it going to be any better? Heck no.
I'm curious to see what it's like because I'm not expecting much, obviously. But I'm, you know, first couple games is one thing. But if they come out kind of flat, where are we going to be 4 or 5 games in?
And people were talking about training camps and everybody's at these training camps and training camp. Great. Fans are at a free event. They aren't shelling out full price for tickets yet. Wait until that happens and then see how many people are back. I'm not saying fans should make up their own mind. They should make up their individual mind as to what their tolerance is for being essentially jacked around by the NHL. Mm-hmm. If they're cool with this, great, go. I don't blame you. It's your call. If you're not cool with it, that's cool. That's fine. But this whole, well, the fans showed up for training camp. Hey, I'll show up for a free hot dog even if I'm a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I'm
tube steaks for everyone.
Why, don't look at me in the eye when you say that. That's disgusting.
Ladies. So, I don't know. We'll see. That'll be definitely something we'll talk about in the next show and just see.
We were talking about signings, weren't we, though?
We were talking about signings. Should we kick into some now? We haven't gotten to – we didn't cover in the last show on purpose because we didn't know if there was going to even be another show for the season. Yeah. But here's the guys who the Avalanche signed as of last summer. So June 4th, Cody McLeod was signed for 3 years. I never saw any details on
and
that.
And Ryan O'Reilly wasn't signed for any yet?
No, he wasn't. He
I'm
wasn't
going to do that every time. Cody McLeod. Between let's make sure we lock him up for 3 years. Ryan O'Reilly. We'll just wait that out.
Between June 4th and June 7th, the Avalanche didn't sign Ryan O'Reilly, but they did sign David Jones to a 4-year, $4 million per, and Matt Hunwick for 2 years.
2 years of blaming him.
Exactly. So the hashtag can live on. Blame Hunwick. June 20th, Gabriel Landeskog. I don't know. I think
Hunwick was 1.6 per year average.
Really?
According to I'm getting my numbers from Cap.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Capgeek.com.
Thanks.
Go to Capgeek for all your cap numbers.
Yeah. Do that. So June 20th, I don't think I covered this. I don't think we covered this in the last show, but Gabriel Landeskog, 22 goals, 30 assists, was named the Avalanche's third/fourth. It's complicated. Calder Trophy winner. Peter Stastny was one of the French because he was with the Nordiques. So Peter Stastny, Peter Forsberg in 94-95. Chris Drury, 98-99, and Gabriel Landeskog last season, and also the NHL rookie first team and the new captain of the Colorado Avalanche. So
wait a minute, third/fourth because?
Well, because the Avalanche, it's hard.
Because it was the
third in the Avalanche's history and the fourth in the franchise's history, if you want to count them moving
from. It was
from
the second in the Quebec. Avalanche history because Forsberg, 94-95, that was still Nordiques.
There you go. That's why
I'm here for the math. I'm the math guy. I do the numbers.
That is true.
He's using numbers.
It's called
stuff.
Teamwork and chemistry, folks. It's what we do.
Right, use your words.
June 23rd, Matt Duchene was signed for 2 years, $3.5 million average, as James mentioned, 3.25 the first year, 3.75 the second. Then that takes him to the end of his restricted status, and then he'll be unrestricted at the end of that. So
could hit the market.
No, actually, I think he's still restricted at the end of that deal. If I remember right, maybe I have my facts wrong. We can double check on all that. I don't know the details of the whole business thing, but I think he's still restricted at the end of that deal, which people really liked. So he can try and earn his money within the organization, and we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. June 25th, Ryan Wilson was signed for 3 years, $2 million the first year, $2.375 the second, and $2.375 the third. June 26th, Shane O'Brien. Hey, he was number five. Yeah. Shane O'Brien, 3 years, 1.82 and 2.2. June 29th, Steve Downey, 2-year deal, 2.55 and 2.75.
That kind of surprised me.
2 years or
that they re-signed him for two. Well, I mean, he was okay. Mm-hmm. He was better than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lot better than I expected.
True.
But what line was he on?
He was with
Riley and Landeskog.
Yeah, right? that was a heck of a line for a while. Well, they were putting on some sick numbers.
Two-thirds of that line's back so far.
Oh, man. Why you got to keep going back to that?
I'm not.
I never did. July 1st, the Avalanche signed John Mitchell from the New York Rangers for 2 years, 1.1 per. He's on the opening night roster. Let's see details. He's 27 years old, 63 games for the Rangers last season, 5 goals, 11 assists, plus 10.
Plus 10.
Plus 10. It's not bad. Let's see. July 1st, also first day of free agent signing, P.A. Parenteau from the New York Islanders, 4 years, $4 million per. Some Islander fans were kind of interested with those numbers, but I guess that's some of the perks of signing with a team that has a lot of, you know, they have some money that they need to spend to get to the cap floor. So it was a good year to be a free agent with the Avalanche out there looking.
Well, they didn't know what the cap floor was going to be. And one of the things in the CBA negotiations was we want a 24% rollback again. So they thought they were going to get a rollback. Nobody got a rollback.
Sorry.
No rollback for you. Honor the current contracts. Thank you very much.
Well, and that's why they got some of the free buyouts or whatever they had, or the free. Yeah. Yeah. All right. The cap.
The Gomez Redden rule.
it'll always be known as that. Thanks for coming, but free buyout for you. Parenteau, 29 years old, 67 points last year at a career high, 18 goals, 49 assists. Playing with John Tavares most of the time, though, too. So, I don't know. We'll see how he does. Get some chemistry, hopefully, working with some of the Avalanche guys.
Who was he playing with at the camp? Do you know?
No. They need numbers on their jerseys. And plus all the new guys, it's like, it was kind of shock for me. But it was...
They didn't have time to put the numbers on.
No, they're busy. They have things to do. And
they had lockouts to...
Exactly. July 1st as well, Greg Zannon from... he played for the Wild and the Bruins last year. 2 years, two and a quarter per year.
Greg Zannon.
Greg Zannon has a beard that everybody is really going to love.
If it stays.
I can't imagine that something that epic...
Maybe they just take their picture for the guide and then shave it right away, you know?
Nobody will be able to recognize him. His face would be so cold, though. I would feel bad for him. He's from Burnaby, British Columbia, though, so he's got to be good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, no big numbers for him, really.
Do good hockey players come from Burnaby?
Yeah, there's been one that I can remember off the top of my head. It wasn't bad. July 3rd, everybody started to get worried.
Roberto Luongo?
Greg Zannon, making the name for Burnaby, British Columbia.
Nobody else
has. July 3rd. Yeah, pick up your game, Joe. July 3rd, Eric Johnson signed a four-year deal, 3.25, 3.75. How's my math going? 3.75, 3.75, and then 4.25. So he'll have to kind of pick up his game. Had a great second half last year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how he does towards this year.
Yeah.
July 13th, Mark Olver was signed for cheap, $550,000, $650,000. I'm sure that's a two-way deal. And then five other guys we'll probably never see with the big club. Yeah. So I'm not covering absolutely everything. And then July 13th as well, Jamie.
You're home for almost everything.
That's right. Avalanche. I'm not going to cover stuff that won't be Avalanche ever.
You're home for almost things that might be Avalanche at some point.
You'll have
Thank
to
you.
Follow other places for all that stuff. Jamie McGinn avoided arbitration on July 13th and signed a two-year deal with the Avalanche, 1.65 and 1.85. So that leaves, here's the guys that left. Kevin Porter went to the Sabres.
Woo-hoo.
Jay McClement to Toronto.
Woo.
Peter Mueller to the Panthers.
Woo.
Ryan Stoa, one of James's favorite players of Woo-hoo. All time. He's off to the Capitals.
You're the anti-Stoa.
You're anti-Stoa.
You're the anti-Stoa. You're big and you use your body and you have no skills.
I am Ryan Stoa. Are you kidding me?
No, Ryan Stoa is like, look, I have skills, and then doesn't use his body, and then doesn't have skills.
And then doesn't play hockey for the Avalanche anymore. And then
I
also,
can't believe they picked him up. Are they planning on the is it the Hendricks thing?
I haven't been following him. I mean, if it goes like some of the other moves, he'll be scoring on the Avalanche in no time. That's how it goes.
Playing in Hershey.
And goaltender said,
is it still Hershey for the Caps? Are they still there? Or are they?
Yes.
Who went to Syracuse?
Bears. Syracuse?
Yeah.
Blue Jackets? Last I knew was Blue Jackets because that's where Mark Rykoff came from.
You keep talking, I'm looking this up.
Cedric Desjardins went to the Canadiens. A goalie prospect that a lot of people were kind of excited about, but the Canadiens ended up signing him so he can do well under Carey Price. And that's all the signings. I mean, any thoughts on those besides the people being overpaid and people raising their eyebrows at $4 million for 4 years for a couple guys?
Tampa Bay is Syracuse.
Tampa Bay, okay.
Because they used to be Norfolk, and Norfolk went on that gigantic streak last year and won the cup.
Oh, that's right.
And then they moved. So how would you like to be those fans?
Wow. I'd rather be locked out, I guess. I don't know.
So Norfolk now has the Ducks.
Okay.
Which means that they're just like, what's their butt? The Kings. because they have their ECHL affiliate right there in Bakersfield, but their AHL affiliate is all the way the country across, and then you come back for the NHL.
That makes sense.
Makes no sense. Silliness.
Travel.
People are silly.
Getting miles, baby. What else we have?
Oh, so you asked me what I thought, didn't you?
Yeah, any thoughts on... I mean, I think we kind of covered that.
We'll nice have to see Jamie McGinn back. Really,
Jamie
nice
McGinn played better,
and that's a bargain. I think
for McGinn,
yeah, for what he was doing last year, and maybe it's that it was a banner season or something like that. You know, the contract year or whatever. But he was good with the Avs. He was good with the Sharks. Sharks, I think, made a mistake letting him go. And who'd they get? Daniel Winnick. And where's Winnick now? Winnick went somewhere. I can't remember where. Winnick
I think he's still with him or no?
No,
that was Gagliardi and Winnick.
Yeah. Gagliardi, I think, is still there. But
and Scarbosa was one of the last cuts. Definitely a guy that people are excited about. He's got some work to do. He's kind of a whittle guy, so he's going to have to pick up his game. But
Mark Oliver is pretty much making minimum, and he's worth every penny.
Yeah. He works as hard.
He's okay. I was not big on him at first.
Yeah.
When I remember seeing him in a preseason game against the Blues, and I was like,
well, he was on the opening Joe Sakic Knight roster too. I mean, this wouldn't be his debut, but he's played decently when he's come up.
Well,
so.
Then Porter came in instead, and then it was like,
yes,
really,
Porter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So let's see, latest as far as moves, and then we'll go over the roster just really quickly. But yesterday, January 16th, the Avalanche reassigned Stefan Elliott and Mike Scarbosa to Lake Erie. And placed David Vandergullick on waivers. And since he's an older guy, he has to clear waivers in order to go down to Lake Erie. And I didn't hear anything today. So that's probably where he ended up. I don't think they waived him unconditionally or anything. He's like 27, 28.
Wow.
So he's old enough to where they can't just move him up and down whenever they feel like it. And he actually has to clear waivers. So in for opening night, the aforementioned Mark Oliver, Patrick Bortolo, the 6'6", 225-pound Trek-sized guy, whose jersey I have on right now. I got one of his preseason gamers. I think I'm going to strip it, but I'm not sure yet.
Why?
Check that out.
Oh, you can't strip that.
Yeah, I know. It's got some game use. I got one of his white ones too, but nice. I'm showing James a hole in the sleeve. I think he got into a fight during preseason with this, obviously, and I'll have to see if I can photo match it or something like that. Defenseman Tyson Barry will start with the team. Forward Chuck Kobosu. I know James is really looking forward to seeing Kobosu do what he does in an Avalanche uniform. He's giving me that snarky look. And once again, Joe Sacco chooses to keep 8 defensemen on the opening night roster, which means he'll have one less forward to work with, which means the lines are going to be all screwy, and we'll see what happens with that.
Somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, and that'll happen eventually. So your opening night roster kind of looks like this. You got Bortolo, Downey, Duchesne, Hayduk, Jones, Kobosu, Landeskog, McGinn, McLeod, John Mitchell, Olver, Parenteau, and Paul Stastny up front. You got Tyson Barry, Jan Heda, who's what? He's 34. He was born in 1978. Are you feeling old yet? Because that's about where I am. Matt Hunwick.
Wait a minute. What? What year were you born?
I was born in 1974. So, but when you see like those, some of the birthdays of some of these guys, like say, I don't know, like Matt Duchesne, who was born in 1991. Yeah, it's kind of scary. It's getting old. Hunwick, Johnson, Shane O'Brien, Ryan O'Byrne. We haven't mentioned Big Sexy. Ryan O'Byrne, Ryan Wilson, and Greg Zannon. And then in net will be Jay Eshiger. And
that's his nickname?
Big is Sexy? It, yeah. That's what they call him, yeah.
Is that what they call him? Who's they?
The team. They call him Big Sexy. I don't call him Big Sexy. I'm not calling him Big Sexy.
Who was it with the – was it Talbot that was called Free Candy?
Oh, what's Free Candy?
I don't know.
I don't want to know.
I'm hoping it's because he drove a van.
Something just nice and innocent, please. Oh man. Varlamov.
Varley.
He's back.
You know what they call him?
Varley.
Yeah.
So he looked great in Russia, hurt his knee a little bit, but he was back. But solid goaltending. Mm. I like saying that.
Yeah, he was like the best goalie in the KHL.
Based on the numbers.
And all-star goalie, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he wins, you know.
He wins games.
He sure does.
In Russia.
He's been in Russia, games win you. Yeah, but he's looked great though. I mean, he's been a nice surprise, and all the buzz where people were very upset about the trade that was made for him and everything, it's kind of calmed down. So that's good to know.
The first and second, what was it, the first round and second round, right?
Yeah, it was the conditional pick based on where the you know, all that stuff. But
who did they take with their first round?
Can't remember. Go start typing. Figure it out.
I will.
You can't just bring up stuff and expect me to type because I'm not typing.
Dude, you remember so much more of this stuff than I do. You are much better at this.
Where are you using your resources?
The internet?
I appreciate that. Yeah, the internets.
Is that my resources?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
The internets? So,
the internets with a Z. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
What else? Anything else we need to cover?
Well, yeah. Puck Daddy, first off. Let's talk a little bit about some of these previews that are coming out, because things are happening fast and furious. Mm-hmm. And all anybody can do, they've got two things they can base everything on for what they think this season's predictions are going to be. Whether a team is young or not, aka injury prone, which, you know, young doesn't mean everything
right.
in that, but still youth and what happened in 1994-95, which was a 48 game season and the Devils won.
Okay.
And the Devils won their first cup ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then won like two more, something like that. Mm-hmm. I saw them win one of them. And yeah, it was
They're
really
pretty
special.
Good. They have rings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else has rings?
Mm.
Married people.
They do.
I don't know what that means. So Puck Daddy is doing their season previews. They're going by division just because there's no damn time for anything else. And they did the Northwest today and serendipitously. And they had, that's a lot of syllables.
Six syllables in our podcast?
Damn. Baby.
Time to shut it down.
We have peaked.
Where did they pick them to finish, James?
They picked them third out of five, basically vying for the final playoff spot. Now, mind you, they picked the Oilers second.
And I'm still like, there's no...
What's this? But Dater said in Sports Illustrated that it was third. That they were going to be third.
In the league.
Well, that's his power ranking. So that can change. Still. Power rankings are kind of like hedge bets.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say it's this, but it's the power. So it could change at any time.
Dater jinx.
Well,
I love it when he does that.
Hi, Jinx. So,
hi, Jinx ensued.
But here's the thing. The reason they pick him, the Oilers this high, even though they have sucked in the past and they just keep collecting first overall picks, which, you know, should help them.
Better.
They're like trading cards. And hopefully they get better with age because they weren't very good recently.
Need it. Got it. need it. Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not going to say.
So is it more like a just-in-case type thing? Like, just-in-case the Oilers are really good, here we go, because they have that potential.
The whole thing was that their big stars were playing, their up-and-coming stars were all playing together in the AHL.
That's right.
And look, what about the Avs?
Because they're all 12 years old.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, what about the Avs? Russia, Switzerland.
For a while.
Switzerland. Yeah, everything.
Sweden.
Yeah. It was all over the map. And here's the other thing. If you take a look at, I wrote about this on Jerseys and Hockey Love, which
that's your blog.
That's my blog, jerseysandhockeylove.com. When you look at coming out of the last lockout, who won the Stanley Cup? It was the Hurricanes. And who was all playing together down in with the Lowell Lock Monsters? The Hurricanes. So,
all right.
That was Cam Ward playing there, Eric Staal, and Mike Commodore, all pretty central.
All right.
Oh, and Kobasu was there, but he was with the Flames.
Where is he now?
Where is he now?
Oh, Chuck Kobasu not making the trip, by the way. He's sick. He must be very sick. So,
are you sure?
Patrick.
Wasn't it what's his butt on Twitter?
Who?
Oh, I'm so mad.
Chambers? Dater?
No. Your buddy. My buddy. Our buddy. Anthrax Jones.
Yes.
What are you saying? They misspelled sucks. Misspelled suck. It's not sick. It's sucks.
Mr. Patch, we love you. You rock. But yeah, so he's not making the trip. It looks like Patrick Bortolo will make his NHL debut. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's been some stuff talked. Eric Johnson said, "Hey, I'm looking forward to getting out there against the Wild and getting two quick wins on the season." And the Wild have Zenon Konopka and another goon, and could be kind of interesting. Hijinks may ensue. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Oh no, smack talk in hockey? Who
Ooh,
would have thought?
Take
you
that.
You mean the actual personality said something in hockey?
They didn't say it with any personality, I can guarantee you that. Yeah.
Oh, so. Watch what you say. How long till we have the retraction and the apology? Jeez.
So
that's one of the things I really tire of is the whole apology, you know, oh, I didn't really mean to say that Bettman was a jerk.
Yeah. Even though I said Bettman was a jerk.
Who did the Washington Capitals pick with their number one overall or number one, their first round pick from the Avalanche?
Who's that?
Philip Forsberg.
Oh, that's right.
He picked a Forsberg with a pick from the Avs.
Taking that full circle.
Nice.
Well picked. I like that. A name that we like and appreciate.
Yep.
Anything else you'd like to cover? Are we ready for some hockey? Sort of.
I'm pretty ready for some hockey. I'm ready to watch some hockey on TV.
Yeah, I think I'll be more excited on Saturday. I actually went to the DVR and set it today to record the game. And, mm-hmm. So that's exciting. So go Avs.
I am going to kind of miss the live experience a little bit. And I mean, who knows? After a while, and like I say, I'm going to take it as it comes.
We'll get you to a game.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
You know, but I don't know if it'll be this season. I mean, it's we've also got the Cutthroats, which you finally went to a Cutthroats game.
That was fun.
You sat in the penalty box.
Sat in the penalty box for Orioles. They treated us really well. It actually reminded me of some of my first experiences with hockey in Denver, which was with the Colorado Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Herb Brooks, and it was really cool when Herb Brooks was with the Rangers, and I still have the stick that I got from Tom Youngins, and yeah, it was pretty interesting, and they treated my daughter the same way. My oldest daughter, who's 3, went in the penalty box and sat down on the...
She's only 3?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One of the scorers saw her right away and started digging in the big Gatorade thing with the ice in it with the frozen pucks and gave her a puck. And it kind of reminded me how I fell in love with the game. I don't think she's going to love it quite the way I do. But yeah, they're really doing a good job keeping people occupied. I guess the weekday games, there's not a whole lot of people that can get there. It's tough to drive along that roadway and get there anywhere near the time where the game starts too. But
it's
I have to give them credit. They treated us like gold. And you know, shout out to Chris Huffine for, you know, letting us go and inviting us to go. And that was a great time. And I'm looking forward to going back sometime. It'll be interesting to see what happens with their numbers once the Avalanche are back. So we'll see.
Agreed. The thing with minor league hockey is it's hard to sell on the weekdays anyways, yeah, no matter what. But it's going to be, it's a great low cost alternative. If you can get to a Cutthroats game, go.
Location
game
is good.
Presentation is so much fun.
Yeah. They do a good job.
When there's a fight, they play Monty Python videos. Oh, the fish slap dance. Jeez. I died laughing.
That's good stuff.
So. I love it. I swear to God, John Cleese, personal hero of mine. Really?
That's good.
Yeah.
One of the things that's kind of bugging me just a little bit, can I vent just for a second?
About John Cleese?
No, okay. about minor league hockey everything. It's when the people kind of go, when certain people go, well, there's always other hockey to go to, when they weren't talking about that at all when the NHL was there, you know, and some people will continue to go to those minor leagues, but some of them have been defending the minor leagues when they really weren't about that at all. You know, it's annoying for me, at least sometimes, where people go, well, there's always other hockey to watch, but it's something that people don't bring up until the lockout happened.
Right.
And then they're adamant all about that. So
I brought it up a lot I bring it up a lot anyways, because I see so much.
And
I really
since you do, like, I respect that, but there's other people that I know are Avalanche fans that continue to say, well, there's other hockey and I'm just going to stick with them. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you stick with them before anyways then, you know? So I don't know. I kind of go back and forth, and I really don't get the feeling that there's going to be fans divided over this whole thing. I don't think fans versus fans is really ever going to be a kind of a theme for the whole lockout. Although it can be pretty easily.
Well, it usually is between fans of teams in their own leagues,
right.
But
just rival teams.
I think it's going to be, you see a different, and this is good. I'm going to make a broad generalization, partially because I've seen, you know, stuff, you know, I've seen the games.
Mm-hmm.
You have a different fan at minor league games.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, you go to the Pepsi Center, you go to any NHL arena, you'll see plenty of people there who aren't fans, who are just there to, whatever.
Or to tell their friends that they were at the game last night.
Yeah, or, you know, there was, you remember that game I went to where there were like 3 corporate guys and they went and actually bought jerseys that night.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh,
yeah.
No, you weren't there at that game. Yeah. But these 3 guys, they were obviously business guys. They'd never been to a game before. You could tell they had like, you know, like the foam finger and stuff like that. And at one point, one guy left, came back with 3 jerseys.
Oh yeah,
one for each of them.
We're fans,
and they're super fans.
I bought you the Ray Bourque Edge jersey that he didn't wear. He retired 10 years before, but they sell them downstairs, so I'm going to go get some.
But I'll tell you, the minor league fan is the adamant fan, because they're the ones who have to track down the stats. They have to listen on the radio rather than watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. It is not easy to be a minor league fan. So it's still well worth it.
Yeah.
And I went to a game, to a Cutthroats game, 2 tickets, $10.
Absolutely.
2 tickets, $10, lower bowl, quote unquote. Everything's pretty much lower bowl.
Yep.
And you really can't beat it. And they want you more than the Avalanche can't do, because it's not easy to be a minor league fan.
Ladies, They want you more. Yeah, I can't argue with that. It's just people pulling out the minor league card. And there's always hockey anyways. I'm going to stick with them. And there's a few wishy-washy fans that way. But for the most part, I think people are going to stick, you know, I think the people that listen to this show for the most part are Avalanche fans. Are going to stick with the Avalanche. They're not going to be happy about it. But I liked what you said in your post the best, as far as I think people are going to be forgiving just because they love the game so much, but they're not going to forget this. And I hope
they're not going to want to pay.
This is a 10-year deal. So 10-year deal. It
yeah. 8 years with an option for 10.
Mm-hmm, something like that.
They're not going to want to pay. They're not going to pay pay the way of everybody else. They're not going to want to pay the way of the owners. They're not going to want to pay the way of the players. I think that's what's going to really be the change from the last lockout with the cap versus this one. The last one, it was, oh, okay, the players are going to get less, even though the tickets didn't go down, blah, blah, blah. Now it's going to be, why do we want to pay your way? And I don't have a good answer for that.
No, I'd be willing to listen to any answer to that, because I know there's not a whole lot.
So. Yeah. Are you going to pay their way? Call us.
Yeah, definitely. Give us a call. What's the number?
I don't remember.
Well, then look it up, because your spiel's coming up here.
I'm pulling it up now. I'm so out of this.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to take us a show or two for us to get back into this too, so folks. So definitely be
and look, I'm going to say nice. I'm going to say it right now, because I've thought about this myself. We're not going the route of Spider-Man comic books. We are not just going to keep a franchise going. You know, we're not just doing the Avs Hockey Podcast because there's a podcast that we just need to keep doing.
No.
We're still fans. I'm upset about the whole thing. I'm not pleased. But at the same time, I want to get back into being that hockey fan. And hopefully other hockey fans are going to want to do the same. And we're not just going to sit here and go, oh, I guess we got to do a podcast because we got to do a podcast.
Then we'll say it exactly like that too.
We're going to totally Eeyore this.
No. We're definitely not going to do that. We do this because we love it, and we you know, we appreciate. I said it a couple times on Twitter and on Facebook. I appreciate everybody sticking with us through this. I know there's a few people that are kind of unhappy, obviously, with the team and the league, and I've heard from them saying, you know, I'm going to stick with DU or I'm going to stick with minor league hockey, and that's, you know, that's fine. But I appreciate. We definitely appreciate the support that you've shown us through this, and we'll be back, kind of, you know, hopefully in midseason form, and so will the team here pretty soon, and it'll feel a little bit more like a real season rather than a shortened, non-scrollable schedule type thing. You know, I was like, hey, check out the new schedule and canceled. Hey, less scrolling. Congratulations.
Canceled.
Did you find the number yet? Because I did.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You can say it.
No, go ahead.
845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465.
Nice. And your radio voice. I love that.
Hey, everybody.
You ready for the spiel?
Do you want to do the spiel first or you want to do shout outs first?
I have a few shout outs. I want to thank, I said world famous, I guess, you know, but I, you know, there's two people that come to mind, Marcel Klock, who's in Germany, and Phil Harbin, who's in, I believe he's in, I'm going to mess this up. I'll look him up, but you know,
Schwanderspod?
No, it's the, who isn't there?
Switzerville.
But it's definitely the folks that we hear from that are like around just making up, they actually might be countries too. But we just really want to thank the people that, like when I hear from someone who's in a different country across the world, that makes me feel pretty good. So I just definitely want to thank Philip Harbin and definitely Marcel Klock, but also Don McWilliams. Don McWilliams is a client. Oh my goodness, she's a colleague of mine that works with me, and she told me she was going to listen to the show on her way to school that she's going to on Saturday morning. So I just want to give a shout out to Don. Thank you for the support. So there you go.
Raise is coming soon.
No, she's not in charge of anything for me financially. So that's you'll be happy to know that.
They wouldn't let her know. They wouldn't let her hear anything important. I'd like to give a shout out to all the Americans out there. Because freedom isn't free. Listening to this podcast is.
I feel like I'm at the stock show.
Jay may not appreciate you Americans, but I do.
You know what else is American? Ram trucks.
You know what else is American?
Built American
hockey. Built in America. America.
I really do feel like I'm at the stock show right now.
Yeehaw.
At the rodeo.
Giggity, giggity, goo. Thank you all for coming.
My goodness, we've lost it, and we barely even started, and we've lost it for the season. So, what else? Are we ready for spiel?
No.
Any more shout outs?
Zach Jacobson for keeping on us about getting these podcasts going.
Anthrax Jones.
Anthrax Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Patch. Like I said,
you know, it's when there was nothing to talk about, there was nothing to talk about, and we weren't going to just there and bore the crap out of you and bore the crap out of ourselves and not have anything to talk about. What would be the point? So, so we waited and we waited and God knows we waited, and 113 days of lockout. And finally getting it back. And yeah, it's nice to be doing this. And hopefully it's going to be pretty regular.
Absolutely.
Other shout outs. Obviously, Chris Huffine for you for those.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, for those Cutthroats tickets.
Definitely.
You know, and just everybody who's who's been there and been waiting for hockey and not been, you know, not been a pain about it or not been, you know, I know it's been hard. It's been hard not to be a grumpy Gus about it, and I've been a grumpy Gus about it. I didn't think it was going to I thought they were going to be so stupid it would never happen, that they weren't going to come back this season, and I'm amazed that they did. And we're glad that you're there, and we appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we don't even mean to sound like the NHL, and I think those of you that have met us and listened to us for a while, you know we mean
this. You know that we are not the NHL.
No, we're definitely not the NHL. You would have unfollowed the show a long time ago. So
Phil Park, like Phil Park, Philly the Fool. That's Philly the Fool. I love his Twitter avatar right now. Keep calm and Landeskog on.
That's right. I'm excited to watch that guy. You know, obviously, 20-year-old youngest captain named in NHL history. I think it's a great move by the organization, and knowing that he's going to be with the organization for a really long time, if you're going to name him captain, makes me excited for Avalanche hockey a little bit more.
Shout out, little slightly off topics. Maybe you guys won't care as much, but shout out
off topic slightly. On the Avs hockey podcast. You're home for almost everything else. Yeah, right.
Imagine that. Shout outs to Travis Hare and Earl Sleek, two bloggers who, left their respective blogs. Travis Hare was at Five for Howling. And Earl Sleek was a blogger who started when I started blogging 6.5 years ago, was with the Battle of California. I saw a game with him in Anaheim when I did my little West Coast hockey tour. And Travis left blogging. He was getting kind of tired of just the way that the blogosphere was. Didn't feel like he was really a part of it, you know, that it got kind of mean-spirited and he just wasn't into that. Both of those guys, congratulations to them for, I guess, moving on. But also, especially for Earl Sleek, for a really good long run, 6.5 years.
That's a long time in blogging.
Really nice guy.
Very cool.
Yeah. He wouldn't want you to think he was a nice guy, but he's a nice guy.
All right.
He's fun.
That's good enough. Yeah. We'll take your word on it.
So I think those are my shout outs for right now.
Cool. We'll do a better job with shout outs for the next show, obviously, as well. So yeah.
No, we won't.
No, we won't, but we'll try. We'll fake like we do, but, you know.
Speaking of. You can always catch the Avs Hockey Podcast.
Hey, it's the spiel, everyone. It's the spiel. Here he goes.
www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can find a link to the Facebook fan page. Jay puts up a lot of stuff. He put up a lot of stuff during the lockout. So, hey, you know what? Shout out to Jay for putting out all that stuff to try and keep it more Avs focused rather than lockout focused, to try and keep it on the, you know, on the fun and positive tip that hockey's supposed to be. Because if hockey isn't fun, you're not doing it right.
Hockey's for everyone.
Jay's on Twitter at Avs Hockey Podcast. It's AVSHKY Podcast. It's short for reasons. And you can always get Curse Word gear because we like to swear without really swearing.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
CurseWord.net, Curse Word t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Go get them. They're hot.
Yeah. Just like, and I've got to come up with something for this year's motto. Also on AvsHockeyPodcast.com right now, Jay put up a little post, Method Behind the Jersey Madness, where he shows you exactly what he does to become an obsessed super fan over jerseys, how he bags them up.
Because everybody wants to do
puts
that.
Puts them in bags, puts them in tubs. It's almost like it's a body.
I even used bold font. It says, no one likes fake jerseys except your bank account. Don't buy fake jerseys, don't, please. If you need anything, if you have questions, get in touch with James and I. We will help you with jerseys. Don't go buy whatever you want. We can help you. Please.
Mostly Jay, though, because Jay is a little more obsessed about the about making good ones.
Obsessed?
Did I say obsessed? Good.
I agree.
Good, because I meant it.
I agree. Yeah, I have a little bit of a problem.
Photo matching.
Yeah, there's a lot to the game. We have fun with it, though.
So anyways, that's at AvsHockeyPodcast.com. Myself, you can find at JerseysAndHockeyLove.com, where hopefully now that there's hockey, there's going to be some more blogging because I was bored
There's nothing to write about.
To talk about. Yeah. Recently, I put up a little bit of a I did a road trip, so you can see some of the places I went, like Cedar Rapids, where they love cowbells, and men in loincloths with horns. It's very strange.
Whoa.
I went to Milwaukee, where you can see a virtually empty arena, what looks like a virtually empty arena, because it's an NBA arena where a minor league hockey team plays. And you can see Moline, Illinois, home of the Quad City Mallards, where there's a giant inflatable duck wearing a helmet vomiting hockey players. and Aaron Bugard, who I seem to see all the time.
You're being followed.
Three games with him. It's insane. Also, you'll find on Jerseys and Hockey Love, right?
Speaking of Shrek-sized people, he is Shrek-sized.
That's pretty much the spiel. I think I got all the spiel in there. Oh, I'm on Twitter on Tape Lake, but I really haven't been doing Twitter much lately.
We have a Twitter account that you might like as well, where anything snarky, anything fake that we want to put out there that might be worth a giggle or two. It's fake AHP tweets. That's on your old tweeter machine.
It's not just snarky for the sake of it.
No, we're just trying to keep, like I always say, we're trying to keep our traditional accounts classy.
Keeping it light.
But we're trying to keep it light somewhere else. So that might be worth a follow too if you like tweeter, fake AHP tweets. So
I think that's it.
Thank you, James.
Hey, thank you.
Right on. Hockey's back. Looking forward to talking with
you. Hashtag hockey's back.
That's all you need is a hashtag. Changes the world, right?
Boom.
Just start a hashtag. Maybe it'll trend. And
that's how things happen in Egypt.
The world is all of a sudden changed. That's true.
One hashtag.
That's true.
Can change the world. I believe I can fly.
There you go. I have to go potty again.
I believe I can touch.
All right, Avalanche fans. Hockey's back, so we're excited to talk at you and get in your ear holes like we like to be at. So if you need anything, get in touch. Otherwise, we'll be back at you in a couple weeks. Looking forward to talking to you. And until then, as always, this is never going to change. Take care. Let's go, Avs. And we'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later. That's the latest craze by those hippity hopsters, the Bang Bang Dance.
The Bang Bang Dance. Hey, everybody, have you seen the Bang Bang Dance?